thus far in our lesson, the one on the Holy Spirit, which we covered last week, was probably the most anticipated lesson of this quarter. And I also began by telling you that I only shared with you, I think, 7 points relative to the Holy Spirit. That's not an exhaustive study. And so if after that lesson, or actually 8, but if after that lesson you thought, well, I have more questions now than I have answers, that's not always a bad thing. I just suggest to you to open up the book of books and go to studying and get your questions answered by the Word of God. You can feel free to ask any question that you want to. That doesn't mean that I know the answer. But if I know it, I'll share it with you. If not, we'll sit down and study the Bible until we arrive at a Bible answer. Well, today's lesson is on miracles. All of these lessons have to do with the book of John, as we've been specifically studying from the book of John, evidences of belief. What evidence in the book of John suggests or proves that Jesus is who he said he was? He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be, as we looked at the lesson on the I am statements of Jesus, he claimed to be the good shepherd, the true bread that came down from heaven. Well, what evidence does John offer that substantiates that claim? That's what this quarter has been about. The theme of the book of John is found where? Purpose statement of the book. That's right. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. That these things are written. For what reason? That you might believe. And believe what specifically? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through His name. Miracles is a topic that is interesting to just about any religiously minded person. But I'll suggest to you that the thinking about miracles varies widely among religious groups. You hear all sorts of things about miracles today. Something happens that takes someone by surprise or that they didn't expect. What do they usually say? That was a miracle. A lot of the televangelists have made a lot of their money by soliciting people's money, their income, so that they can send them something that will work a miracle for them. One that comes to mind is a fellow, his last name is Popoff, comes on TV. Usually he'll tell you, if you send a love offering, send now for your free miracle water from the healing springs of wherever. Well, that's because, and that appeals to a lot of people because people probably sincerely want miracles to happen. They look for miracles in their life. They want things to be better. And so when things get better, they automatically say, well, it was a miracle. And so I say that to say this, that we've got to make sure that what our thinking is about miracles or the Holy Spirit or whatever it may be is in line with what the Scriptures teach. You agree with that? If we don't agree on what the Scriptures teach, we'll never have the unity that God expects us to have. In John 21, 25, we don't know how many miracles that Jesus did. And there's another reference to that along the way as well. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. I'm impressed with that for a number of reasons, but especially when you think about the fact that Jesus, in his public ministry, was on the scene for about how many years? About 3 years. And yet he did so much that this verse says that if they were all written, then I suppose that the world would not contain the books that should be written. What an example of going about. By the way, the Bible talks about the life of Jesus and makes a statement, I believe in the book of Acts, that he went about doing good. Our life ought to be summed up that way. He went about doing good. Well, we need to define what miracles were, what they are. Something's not a miracle just because someone says that it is. Just because I say that such and such happened, and well, that's a miracle, doesn't mean that that was a miracle. I can claim that anything is a miracle, but that doesn't mean that it is. We need to have proper understanding of miracles as we find in the Bible. It occurs 37 times or verses In the King James Version, the word miracle does. The Bible has a lot to say about miracles. A lot of miracles are stated in the Bible, even when the word miracle is not tagged onto it. So five of these uses are in the Old Testament, and the rest are in the New Testament. Someone says, well, my Bible uses the word miracles more. Well, probably because you're using a different version than I was in preparing this material. But the original word from which those English words derive from should be the same. In the Old Testament, the English word miracle is taken from two Hebrew words. Mopheth or mopheth means conspicuousness, a miracle, by implication, a token or omen, and it's rendered sign, wonder, or wondered in other occurrences. Then the other word, in the sense of appearing, a signal, literally or figuratively, as a flag, beacon, monument, omen, prodigy, evidence, etc. And that word was rendered mark, miracle, sign or ensign, and token. In the New Testament, it comes from two Greek words that means miraculous power, and you can read the rest of that according to Vine, and an indication, especially ceremonial or supernatural, a sign, mark, token, is used of miracles and wonders as signs of divinity and authority. And I also included Webster's definition of the word. Why do you got to be careful about Webster's dictionary?
Gives a man of meaning to it.
Yeah, it just gives our modern usage of the word, how we might use it in our modern tongue. An event attributed to the supernatural, an unusual or astounding event. Well, there's several things that might be unusual, but that doesn't mean that it's a miracle. Just because we perhaps hadn't seen it before or heard of it before, that doesn't automatically mean that it was a miracle. Of all the definitions that you can look at, I think this next sentence really sums up, in a good way, puts in a nutshell what miracles are. That they were events which were done outside of natural laws. In other words, the natural laws, the way that it typically would be according to those laws, are set aside for the performance of that event. There's a law that says, whatever goes up must come down. That's just a general law of physics. But if I took this Bible and I threw it up and it did come back down, no strings attached. You see, that setting aside of natural laws, that which goes against what God has put in place. And by the way, who put those laws of nature into place? God did. When you think about the water cycle, the water that evaporates and it ascends according to the vapor thereof. It's capturing the forms of clouds and then it comes back down and so forth and so on. God put all of that into place. But there were times when those laws were set aside for the performance of a particular thing. That's a Bible miracle. Not just because someone claimed it, but because it went outside of those laws. Point two. Numerous examples of miracles can be found in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there's a lot. And when you study about miracles, you do yourself a favor if you would look at all those miracles that were performed in the Bible and see what type of miracles they were. For example, in the Old Testament, I listed five, the parting of the Red Sea. Would you agree that's a miracle? Me too. There, by the way, the Red Sea was not the only body of water that was parted in the Old Testament. One particular body of water was parted on more than one occasion. The Jordan, right? And so it's another example of that. The bread and the quails from heaven. Remember about the manna and about the quails? How the children of Israel murmured? We studied about that at home last night about complaining. Sometimes, how the lesson ought to be learned that we ought not thank God. May we eat this food with a thankful heart and then complain about I don't like it. Think about that. God told them that you're going to eat this for a month. You're going to eat it until it becomes loathsome to you, until it comes out your nostrils. They murmured and complained. That miracle. The water from the rock, Numbers 20. The healing of Naaman was done so by a miracle. And then the iron that swam. Remember that? A fella had borrowed a person's hammer or tool, I should say. Axe, whatever it was. It came off, went into the water, and then what happened?
Let a stick out there that come to.
A miracle was performed. It floated. That goes against what laws say that would happen. Miracles of the Bible were complete. Or let's back up to D. Some miracles of the New Testament. There's others, again, that you can think of. The withering of the fig tree. The healing of the centurion's son. Yep. Two blind men. Raising of Dorcas from the dead. Raising of Eutychus. Remember that? I put in here that miracles were complete, instant, and evident. I think that could probably be better worded. They were instant from the standpoint of, as you compare them to modern day miracle workers, that someone says, oh, a month from now when you go back to the doctor, you didn't have that in the Bible. Now, not all of them was at the exact time that something was stated. Can you give me an example of that? Sometimes the working of a miracle was foretold. You see my point about that? Give me an example of when a miracle was foretold. Okay, Jesus' birth.
Well, would you consider when Paul was preaching to that guy and at midnight and he fell out of the loft of the house and was killed, and okay. Paul went down there and raised his
right.
dead?
That's right. That's Eutychus, right?
Yeah.
So many other ones. When you think about in the Old Testament, the 10 plagues of Egypt, but on and on and on. But understand that in comparison today of what people call today miracles, they were complete, instant, and they were evident. For the purpose of miracles, what does the Bible say was a purpose of miracles?
Confirm the word.
Yeah, they confirm the word.
So it gives. That's who he said he was.
Yeah, produce faith. Prove that Jesus is who he said that it was. When you look again at John 20, 30 and 31, these are written that you might believe. What was written?
Word of God.
All the things contained that he had wrote up to that point. The works that Jesus did. The miracles that were performed. The things that he included by inspiration in that gospel account.
Hey, Donnie, just on the complete instant evidence, we talked a little bit about that upstairs, and there was a lot of examples. For instance, when Moses, turned the water to blood, Pharaoh had his own magicians that could make water red that convinced him, that he would harden his heart. But by no means was he instantly able to shut down a whole nation and shut down their whole water system and do that. Same way with the quails, We see magicians every day, illusionists, that are able to make a bird appear seemingly to us. But can they feed a nation with a quail?
Yeah, so there's a big difference between what people claim
in
miracles today. When you look at those passages, and I gave you those on complete instant evidence, Acts 4 and then verse 10, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you. Oh, that was evident. It was instant. It was evident to the people. And ought to have produced faith in those individuals. Again, miracles were performed to produce faith. And then point 3D, miracles were performed to show that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And that God was with Jesus. And you can look those references up and look at those. Miracles were performed to confirm the word, as Eulah stated. In Mark chapter 16, when the Lord commissioned the apostles to go forth and preach the gospel to every creature, the Bible says that they did that. And the Lord talked about these signs shall follow them, but specifically when you get to verse 20, the Bible says, and after he had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And they went forth and preached everywhere, confirming the word with what? Signs following. For confirmation, of the word. And that's also stated in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. It's the purpose of miracles, confirmation of the word, to produce faith. And in fact, when you go through the book of John, we'll see how they did that. Not only in the book of John, but the other accounts of the gospel. And even beyond, when you look at the book of Acts, chapter 8, remember the miracles that were being performed? What happened as a result of that? Simon himself also believed, and he was baptized. He obeyed the gospel. He wondered at the miracles that were done, and so forth. Acts chapter 8. Incidentally, miracles were not performed just because someone is seeking vainglory, a name for themselves. Now you could go down a laundry list of why people today claim that they can work miracles. I'll give you a passage that comes to mind. I don't think I included it in your book that I think about when people claim, whether it's various gifts of the Holy Spirit, miracles, what have you. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says in verse 2 that he determined not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In verse 4 he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I suggest that people get to demonstrating what they claim that they can do. You agree with that? If you claim to be able to do something, do it. You'll find out real quick whether someone's telling you the truth. Now, sometimes individuals, well, don't tempt God. But again, what was the purpose of a Bible miracle? Especially in the New Testament.
To confirm
the word. It produced faith in those people that saw it. The opportunities there. Some people saw the miracles and still rejected it. So someone said, well, don't tempt God. Well, here's a point. If I say I don't believe that you can do that, and it's to be used so that I can believe that you can, then do it. You see that point? The miracles of Jesus. He performed a lot of miracles, as we already stated, was not contained in the sacred volume of God. They basically pertain to three areas. Nature, healing, and the raising of the dead, or physical things with nature. And so the miracles of Jesus, like other Bible miracles, were complete, instant, and evident. Someone didn't have to wonder whether or not that came to pass. For example, when Jesus found a man that had a withered hand, what did he do? He healed it. You think that was evident? Even in Matthew chapter 9, remember Matthew chapters 8 and 9 are miracle chapters in the book of Matthew. Five miracles recorded in each chapter. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus healed a lame man. But before he healed that man, what did he say? They thought he was blaspheming. Who can do this but God alone? Yeah, your sins are forgiven. Oh, who can't? The people there. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, and he healed the man. That was evident. He'd been found out real quick if he were a fraud. Either the man's going to get up and walk or not. So, again, it was evident. I recall an incident that Brother Willard Akers shared with me concerning my grandfather's nephew, who was a preacher for a lot of years and he only had one arm. The other arm was off up to the elbow, his right arm. And Willard was telling me of an incident. He went to a holiness meeting. The people were lined up to come forward for their working of a miracle. And so Ed went to the meeting. He got in line. And when it came time for him to be there, he had his nub behind his back. And the preacher said, "What would you have me do for you, son?" And he said, "Restore my arm like the other one." What do you think? You see that point? Of course, a holiness preacher cried out, "Devil's in the house. Prove it. Prove those things." They were evident. I use that illustration to show you that. There's no denying what they did, as opposed to what people do today. Miracles of Jesus recorded in John. Here's specific miracles that you'll find in the book of John. The water to wine. Healing of the nobleman's son. I've got the references there for you. Feeding of the 5,000. Healing a blind man. And the raising of Lazarus from the dead. John 11, 1 through 45. When the Lord at the tomb of Lazarus cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." Wouldn't you have liked to have been there on that occasion? That was evident. As well as all the other miracles in Matthew and Mark and Luke that the Bible records. Now, specifically to ask how these pertain to evidences of who Jesus is in the book of John, I want us to look at these statements. And again, that's not an exhaustive lesson on miracles, but you can go home and you can study that. And you can be responsible for your own growth and study the Word of God. Miracles as evidence of belief. Notice what the Scriptures state after these miracles were performed. John 2:11, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Why'd they believe? Why? They saw what he did. They saw what he performed. John 2:23, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." John 4:53, "So the Father knew that he was at the same hour, that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house." John 6:2, "And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased." And on and on and on these references go. John 12:42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him lest they should be put out of the synagogue." All of those miracles that he performed were evidence that he said that he was who he said that he was. How does that compare to modern day professed miracles? Hold that thought. Okay. How does that compare? When you look at the miracles, the Old Testament, the New Testament, how does that compare?
It doesn't.
No comparison, is
there?
Often the case is when you talk to someone, and we'll get to your thought just a moment. When you talk to someone about miracles, many times they'll say, "But now wait a minute, I believe that with God all things are possible." Well, I agree that God is all powerful, and when you study about miracles, it's not that you're trying to limit somehow what God is able to do. That's not the point. The point is what was the purpose of those miracles? And again, it's not that I would perform a miracle and say, "Well, next month you'll know." In the Bible, they were evident, instant. And here's the most important thing relative to this. The miracles performed in the New Testament were used in confirmation of the Word. We understand that. Now that the Word has been confirmed, it needs no more confirmation You see that point? In other words, if I'm trying to study with Dewey from the about spiritual things, and Dewey doesn't believe, what do I convince Dewey with? With the Word, with the Bible, not a miracle. Everything's been revealed. I convince him of what the truth is by an honest examination of what the Scriptures teach. You see, in the New Testament times, the Word had been completely revealed. That's what the Bible's talking about, by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about the duration of those things. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is done in part shall be done away with. And now, in light of the perfect revelation from God to man, those things cease to exist. The speaking in tongues and so forth that you read about in 1 Corinthians 12. Those nine spiritual gifts. Does that make sense? Yes, no, maybe. Shake or nod.
Yes.
Anything I need to try to explain more or clear up? Excellent point. I appreciate you bringing that up. That's right. All things that pertain to life and gospel, and all things that will equip us to every good work are furnished to us. Real quickly, in our last 5 minutes, let's look at the questions. Simple questions. Nothing difficult about what we've studied so far in this quarter. Perhaps we could have made it difficult, but I'm not about to do that. Keep it simple. Has to be simple, that way I don't miss it. Number one, do we have recorded all the miracles which Jesus performed, and how do you know that?
No, because John said there wasn't.
That's right. Good job. What is a miracle?
It's outside of the natural law, I guess would be the easiest way.
That's right. That's right. Let me ask you a question. You're at the hospital, and all of a sudden over the intercom comes this cute little baby nursery music that comes across. And someone says a baby's born, it's a miracle. Is that a Bible miracle? No. God put that in place that way, did he not? Going all the way back to the beginning. It's not a miracle. That takes place as a result of the laws that God put in place. We understand that. List some miracles from the Old and the New Testament. There's a lot. There's a lot of miracles you could look at. Miracles of the Bible were three words.
Complete instant evidence.
What was the purpose of New Testament miracles?
To confirm.
It was an evidence of who Jesus was. Jesus did those things, and thereby that was an evidence that God was with him. The miracles of Jesus can be placed into three categories. What are they? That's right. Show how the miracles of Jesus were instant, complete, and evident. Let's give an example of when it was evident.
The lame man that was healed. I mean, that was an instant thing.
Yeah, that's right.
It was undeniable, even in their own words. You know, we can't deny that.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was completely restored.
That's right. John 9, the healing of this blind man. It was evident. And again, just because the miracle was performed didn't mean that everybody believed. They couldn't deny it, but still, they still rejected the Lord. They rejected the apostles in the book of Acts when you look at chapters 3, 4, and 5, or specifically chapters 3 and 4. Peter and James went to the temple. The hour of prayer, there was a man that was there. And silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. What did he say? Arise. What happened? Yeah. And you know, the religious leaders got together. We can't deny that this took place. But they sure didn't want to accept what the apostles taught.
Like the ones who died in the synagogue, they believed. But because of the fear of being thrown out of the synagogue, they wouldn't obey. They didn't.
That's right.
They produced obedience, but they did believe.
That's right. How were miracles in the book of John an evidence that Jesus is the Son of God? How would you answer that? Yeah, that's right. And that's right as well. He fulfilled those prophecies concerning the things that he did. So you take that and study it further and learn more about Bible miracles. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the death of Jesus and how that is an evidence that Jesus is who he said that he was. We'll talk about the death of Jesus. And one less, we'll talk about the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension, so forth and so on. I appreciate your good attention.
You know what gets me? I can't figure out why.